Welcome to Happy Valley City Council Work Session. Today is Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. We will start by going over the regular items and seeing if there's any questions. We are going to make a change to the agenda. After we go into executive session, we will not be coming back into regular session for the contract and conversations. We will be holding that over till another meeting to just make sure it's all correct in the terminology. So that will be the change. We'll adjourn right after executive session. We'll not be coming back. Any questions on the consent of those items? Presentations, Mr. Miller. Ed will be here. He is here.
He's not going to be here. He's in Arizona.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, Steve will still present?
Yep.
Okay. And will the K-9 and Sergeant be here?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And then, of course, our award for city budget presentation, Travis. And the housing is, so they're bringing somebody from?
Metro staff will be here.
Do we have a time frame? We've all seen the report, so did they say how long? Did they say?
No, I would.
I prefer 10. I mean, we've seen it. I know they go over every slide. We've seen the slide. We've read the slide. We understand it, I think, but no reason to. And then public hearing, the library board residency requirement. I know there was questions. I think they got answered that were required. So it's just a formality, right, of the change. And then the housing needs assessment, you're just presenting. So anything else that we have to?
I thought we were making a decision on the housing needs assessment.
It's on the agenda. Council can give me direction to either participate or not with the county. So.
That's what I was hoping for. Okay. We'd make a direction.
And I actually did have a question on that. I don't know if it's appropriate for now or if it's for the later discussion, but it was just about something I couldn't glean from the information. I know that there are a number of cities that aren't looking at participating in that. So if only a subset of the cities participate, how do they allocate the cost? Is it just over whoever's in it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if they're just going to go ahead and do it anyways and hope that cities participate. At the Clackamas County Managers meeting yesterday, Don Krupp said, they're going to do it.
Right.
A number of these other cities have already completed their own analysis, and so they're not participating. Or with us, it may be for a different reason we're not participating at this time. Maybe we'll do our own in the future, and I can talk a little bit about that.
Right.
But it's a little more complicated than just having another entity do your inventory and then boom, it's done. It has implications and policy inputs that are necessary.
And you're going to go over that when we talk about that.
Briefly, I'll go over that, but the larger conversation about a buildable lands inventory and housing needs analysis, we'll bring back in a work session to really get into detail.
Okay. All right, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. So if nothing else, we'll get back to our work session item, which is the Park Levy Educational Outreach Plan. And I see we have a guest. And Mr. Tuck, I'll let you do introduction and then go.
Yes, thank you. This is Sylvia. She's with JLA Associates, and they've done a lot of the outreach work that we did with the master plan this summer, and then also is helping us on the public involvement component and education that we'll be talking about tonight and starting to release very soon. So we are full speed ahead. We have the direction from the council on the levy amount. We also have turned the information into the Secretary of State. We have our measure number, which I sent out to the council. But for anyone else listening, it's measure 3-526. So we've also sent out our education materials to the Secretary of State looking to gain what's called safe harbor. Essentially, that means if they say it's okay, someone can't come back later and then challenge us that we were impartial or using city resources to influence a vote a certain way. So we'll hear back from them.
I think you sent that stuff.
I sent it to you.
Yeah, okay. So we can share it with what that is about the whatever the.
Yeah.
Safe Harbor was inclusive of.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the process of setting up all the meetings with the homeowners associations and PTAs. I think we have the first one scheduled, and a few of you are going to attend. We'll get a master schedule put together of all those and try to come up with a process to have just a couple people go to each one. We don't want to get burned out. There's going to be a lot of meetings. We did this before with the levy, as you remember, and it's a haul. So if we can divide and conquer, that'd be good. We're working through the draft questions on the community survey. We did receive feedback from the council on that, so we're incorporating those, and then we'll meet and discuss with those revised questions with the consultant on Thursday morning. But it's anticipated we'll have the results of the survey towards the end of the month or early part of April, so it'll go pretty quick here. I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Bryant. He's going to go through the materials.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Council. And I'm going to actually, this is going to be a tag team effort. It's a full team, just like with the master plan. So as Jason mentioned, we've got Ms. I can't even say your last name.
Chibarusky.
Still for you.
That's why I just said Sylvia.
Yeah. And then Mr. Campbell, and don't let Mr. Randall off the hook by sitting in the back there. So it's going to be a full team effort. So we asked JLA to put together a public involvement plan for us to really do a couple of things. One is to outline that we want to share factual information, we want to build understanding and awareness of this levy in the community, and then really put together a strategy for how we're going to do those things. So one of the first things that we really set out to do is develop a set of key messages. By the way, in your packet, I'm going through that public involvement communications plan if you want to follow along at all. So one of the first things that we wanted to do is really develop a set of key messages. Those are almost like frequently asked questions. You know, why a levy? What is a levy? How much would it generate? How much would it cost me? All those different things. Have we done levies before? Why do we even have to do a levy? In other cities, parks are funded, just it's a given. Don't we already pay a lot in taxes? You know, where do my tax dollars go? All those different things. So just putting those key messages together that will do a couple things. One, help us develop talking points for all of our community meetings, help us with messages on the website, social media plan that we'll talk about in a little bit, as well as flyers, postcards, all that kind of stuff. So that's really what we've been focusing on the last couple weeks. We didn't want to include the exact language in your packet because sometimes the Secretary of State won't then review our flyers if we've included draft materials in the public before. So anyway, so that's why you don't have those answers to those questions, but just know that those are all the things that we're working on. If you've got other questions, let us know and we can add that to it. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms.
Chibarusky.
Sylvia is fine.
And then to go over all of our strategy and what the different things that we're going to do.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. And thanks for having me today to kind of talk a little bit about this. So like Ben said, the information that we're putting out there, you know, is really to let people know what is this levy about, to make sure they are well informed about what a yes or a no vote really means, and to encourage them to vote, because that's really the end goal, is to make sure that people are going to get to the polls and make their voice heard. So we've developed the informational materials that's going through the Secretary of State review now, and once those are reviewed, we can kind of hit the ground running. We haven't been able to do any outreach yet without that review. But our outreach and getting people to understand the levy kind of has two parts. One is, the first is kind of now through about mid-April, and that's just getting people information about this. And then mid-April through May 15th, which is the vote, it'll be encouraging people to actually vote. You got your ballot, mail it in, or get to the polls. So with our kind of earlier phase of outreach, we have a number of ways we're going to get this information out there. We'll do a postcard mailing to all residents, so that postcard is being reviewed. We'll make full use of the Happy Valley newsletter with kind of a monthly insert between now and May. as well as a series that we're calling My Park Story. So we'll kind of have a story about how people use parks and maybe feature some quotes from individuals that use parks. It'll be more of a human interest type piece, but it'll remind people why parks are important. We're also going to do some email blasts and social media outreach, so we'll put together a social media plan once we have this approved content. And another big element, of course, is engaging all of the different groups, the HOAs, PTAs, which you will be a huge part of. So that's kind of getting the information out there. And then between mid-April and the day of the vote, we have kind of really getting out there and getting more people engaged. So we'll send another postcard out to all residents, more emails to our interested parties lists. And we'll also develop some kind of signs and posters, maybe 11 by 17 posters, perhaps even yard signs that are informational. They won't be advocacy oriented. We'll put them up in parks, libraries, schools, and other, you know, to be determined locations where we think people could see them. And we can also provide those to organizations that seem like they're interested to distribute on our behalf as well. And we're also going to do some tabling, so you know, not everybody sees all this information, so we're going to put it in their face by getting it in grocery stores, maybe sports events and games, and the farmer's market to let people know about this vote. And we'll also do some social media advertising. So we'll be doing social media posts throughout using the City of Happy Valley Facebook page, but we'll supplement that with a Facebook ad targeted at the Happy Valley residents to encourage them to vote. That's basically the plan.
I don't know, Steve, if you want to chime in a little
questions?
Bit too.
David, did you have
no.
One? No.
I was just wondering if one of those is out.
I had a question.
Councilor Drain.
So you've done these kind of campaigns before?
Yes.
For parks kind of things?
Well, not always for parks. We did it for a police levy. I haven't done it for a parks levy before.
So what kind of information have you gathered to get to this point? I mean, you're reaching out from the city, or you gathered information from... I know you did all that background work with the citizens,
right.
So you're using that.
Yeah, so in terms of messaging, you know, we got a lot of input from residents through the parks planning effort back in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And fall. And so I think we got a pretty good understanding of what people care about in parks.
Okay.
So some of the messaging, you know, reflects what we heard from that process. There wasn't any sort of polling done, though, to really gauge in a statistically valid way what messages hit home with residents here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Steve, I don't know if you wanted to chime in a little bit on kind of your thoughts on how some of the HOA and PTA meetings should go, granted that we're going to have many of you there, us there, Parks Advisory Committee meetings there, and I know you have a lot of experience with the police levy and what works and what doesn't.
Sure. You know, like we found, discovered our police levy, you can oftentimes invite people to come and hear your message, but it's been proven and results have been better by you going to them. And so we've sent out letters to all our HOAs, PTAs, PTOs, and really any organization that would have a say or vote. We even went to Glenmore and different locations like that. So we're still developing a list for that. But it was a successful mission, and we called it the listening tour. We wanted to hear what people's thoughts were. But really what we discovered throughout the process is that these HOA leadership, folks that attend those meetings, as well as PTA, PTOs, they're really became our advocates and really pushed that message out throughout their neighborhoods and the parents in the schools. And I think that's going to be one of the key things for the success of this getting the information out, and so people can vote with a lot of education behind their vote. So,
and then I think when we do all these meetings, it'll be important that we're only there to talk about the factual information, right? And you all know that from previous. We can talk about the background, some of the key, what is coming up, and then we'll rely on you as elected leaders and the Parks Advisory Committee to really be the ones that, if you so choose, to be advocates. they are not.
Okay. And I think we're well aware of the process and the volunteers on the PAC know that as well. They know the rules, and we're well aware of them, and we'll make sure to follow them. Steve?
Well, say we're putting together talking points just to go through using the FAQs that we already have developed, just to make sure that our message, so if one of us can't make a meeting or there's interchanging of who's staffing each meeting, all of the communication and messaging is the same. Because I know there'll be a lot of questions too from residents.
Sharing that, which I know you shared some stuff, and we'll make, as long as we're just, we're just aware of the information, it's public record, we can use that factual stuff in also our, the other messaging.
Are we creating a to-go or a to-go box, so to speak?
Yeah, right. So for these meetings, we'll have, you know, a packet of fact sheets and postcards and other information that people can use.
For this first one that's coming up on Thursday, this next Thursday, we may not have all of that ready to go just based on the Secretary of State's review time. So if you don't see it this first one, don't panic yet. We kind of geared this up so that it's all ready for April meetings, and this one just happened to be early, which is fine.
And we can come back a little later too. We sent emails to these, to the leadership and these organizations, and they sent, and we crafted the email for them, and they just sent it out on our behalf. So that worked out pretty well.
Okay, Council Sherman.
And you know, if we can have it placed on like the council calendar, if we can, the sooner we can get an array of dates out there, the better for us. And I think you know, I'll share one of the comments from last night's meeting with Parks Advisory, and I would agree with that. You know, in going to the PTA meetings, you know, we can have a number of people at these events, and I think that'll be very helpful. You know, if we have council presence, staff presence, and committee presence, that'd be great. HOAs may be a little bit more lightly attended, so we may not need to have six people jumping into a group of four people who are coming to an HOA meeting. So I think putting a calendar out there and kind of balancing who's going out and for how long would be very helpful. So I'm ready for that.
Councilor Drake?
And I think the only other comment I would have is what that we learned in the police levy, the first go-around is people didn't understand that if they vote no, they're not giving services. There is no park service. And they really need to understand that. That's, you get nothing.
Right.
It's an all or nothing proposition.
That's a really good point. And we hope that our messaging is very clear about that. We tried to be clear about the fact that you know, without this levy, the city will not have a dedicated funding source for parks.
We don't have any funding source.
Right.
That was the question, right? It's Councilor Sherman.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree with that statement. I think that's the value of electeds and committee members going out, is that as a staff member, they can, you know, they can say, well, you wouldn't have a dedicated funding source, which is a different message necessarily than one of us saying, and you won't have parks. And that's something that we can say, and that's something that staff may not be able to say in the same, using the same words.
Bill?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, come, just kind of stand up here and come up, and so that it gets it on record.
Is it possible for...
Bill Bercy. Parks Committee.
Parks Committee, yeah. Is it possible to have somebody at our next PAC meeting on March 19th, like Sylvia, to come and explain all this to us? No, we can't do that.
It's not that you can't, it's not smart.
You're shaking your head, so okay.
Well, listen, I mean, it's, they can give factual information, right, to take. I don't recommend it.
Okay.
I think the council knows the factual information that we can share and have a conversation with, and if there's clarity needed, we can ask. But I don't think mixing the two groups is just good practice for passing a measure that needs clarity in both roles so that we're not rung up on something that's not intended. I think that's the best case. I don't, the council agrees with me on that.
Right.
Yeah. We'll get all the information that you ask for. So Mr. Tuck and then Mr. Randall.
And all the information that we're putting together is going to be public information, so it'll be available for the council to take and utilize wherever you want at whatever meetings you go to.
But Bill.
Councilor Drake.
I think as the council members, we're planning to go to a lot of those meetings.
Yeah.
We'll be there, be supportive.
But they can't go and Sylvia can't go as far as...
Their staff.
All this
they're hired with taxpayer dollars to present the facts as opposed to...
Advocate.
Yeah. advocate, and the meetings that we have, are having, are intended to advocate for. So I think it could get blurry.
Sure, okay.
You know, I suppose, yeah, I mean, I suppose you could designate on an agenda item that says, you know, city staff is here to present facts, and then they leave, and then we could talk about it, probably could do it something like that, maybe if we were to really type up an agenda. I don't know if it's necessary, though.
I'm kind of thinking that our committee's, I think, a little bit lost on some things, and I know we're trying to, raise money and stuff. And I'd like to see, like tonight, I'm a little more encouraged, and that's why I was asking whether they could come and give us some type of presentation, like just to encourage us a little more, and, you know, that's my reason I'm asking.
Perfect, okay, Ben, and then, well, let me, Chris, and then Ben.
I just wanted to mention to everybody that Council Sherman knows this, but Sylvia's given the same presentation to our Parks Advisory Committee. So they've heard the same spiel that you guys are hearing now, so you should have as much information as we have right now as a council.
Oh, okay, so they've already given it.
Same presentation to them.
Okay, Mr. Bryant?
All I was gonna add to that is that, I don't know when the next Park Advisory Committee meeting, but a better approach would be to take, once we have the new flyers and postcards and some of those materials, take those to the next Parks Advisory Committee meeting, not a PAC meeting.
Okay.
And then we can share that information at the next meeting.
The 9th, that's our next meeting.
Makes sense, okay. And that's what, April?
April 9th.
Perfect timing.
Mr. Sherman, Council Sherman?
And then, after that point, once we've met in committee, for those that are able to and choose to attend the PAC, we'll revisit those and answer any questions that come up.
And I know that Sylvia, they're gonna call throughout the community some phone calls. I mean, I don't know.
And the city's gonna do a survey, gauging what messages resonate with our residents for our education materials. So some of this may change a little bit or morph as we go along. So that should be concluded the end of March. Early April.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I can say this for the record, Jason and I already talked, the council knows, when you do a poll and you're going to use it for advocacy, that legally cannot just be given a poll that's done by a municipality entity, whoever bought the poll, and then give it to the Parks Committee to use that messaging to target, right? It's got to be a public document or everybody has to have access to it. It can't just be used, otherwise there's value to it, and then it's an in-kind, and the city can't do an in-kind to the advocacy group. So, it's a public document that we'll be able to use to get the information that was discovered, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so once we have the survey complete, I will I'll bring it to council, depending on its
results.
Usability.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And then you can determine if you want us to post that on the website or wherever that mm-hmm. will then become a public document.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, please.
So the poll results will be ready late March, early April, but we can still use our other materials
yes.
before that for
this will just
outreach.
help refine if
right.
we need to. That may not be in the written stuff, but it may be for social media posts
mm-hmm.
Later on.
Yeah, or a later postcard or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Councilor Sherman?
So I'm a Facebook guy, so I see value in that. Are there, for the younger folks in the group, are there other social media avenues that we should explore?
Nextdoor,
Twitter?
Twitter doesn't really have
okay.
Are you talking about
for the education
posting?
Yeah.
Well, I will. Our social media plan will use Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And you may. Are there other avenues that you were considering?
All I was going to add to that is Nextdoor presents a few challenges for us as a city, just from a access standpoint and a retention standpoint. So, as an organization, you're not given the same permissions and levels that an individual has. So we can't always see those. So it actually Nextdoor, I think, would be helpful for. That's where I think your value comes in a little bit as well, is sharing some of that information that sometimes we don't see necessarily, or we have to, it's a employee who's a resident sees it, but they only depending on the poster, it might only go to one neighborhood and not the whole thing.
Councilor Dalby?
I've recently been seeing Clackamas County Sheriff's Office is posting on Nextdoor. How's that different than us?
Law enforcement has been given different.
And Clackamas County as well has been posting. So I'm just wondering how those are different from our city. So, I'm.
We can take a look.
Yeah, we can take a look at it.
That was to answer Councilor Sherman's question.
I think mostly it's hard to track, because it can spider web off into several different neighborhood groups. It's hard to track and be able to respond appropriately to those groups. But we can certainly push messages out that direction, as long as we can capture and archive the information.
Councilor Sherman?
Or can the PAC, I mean, is the PAC able to put their message out there? That falls out kind of outside the purview of all of us?
Yeah.
It's outside of the city's business to do the advocacy stuff.
Okay, perfect.
Can I make one more comment on that? So the sort of outreach in a box that we're going to be providing at meetings, depending on timing, we can also include some suggested social media posts that then those groups can, you know, use or tweak however they want and do social media postings as well.
Great.
Was the outreach in a box your to-go box?
Yes, to-go box. Outreach in a box sounds a little better.
Is that what you were trying to get to?
She's an expert in this stuff, you know. I'm just a city manager.
You know, the to-go box that you're going to do. I just got it right.
The doggy bag.
When you said that, I'm like, that's what he meant to say earlier. Oh, that was funny. Anyway, okay, questions? Counselors, comments? No? 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 It's all good work. I mean, just, it's a lot of work. Good stuff, so. Yeah, so. Birthday boy.
We're going to look at opportunities wherever we can maximize the information going out and the branding. I mean, we've got all kinds of opportunities. We've got City Hall. We've got people coming in and out of here all the time. We've got City Hall tours, second graders, parents coming through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, we're
educating all of the public through whatever access that we can.
Yep.
About the value of this particular.
We have a principals meeting coming up. There's value in making sure that they understand the measure and what we're up against so they can communicate it correctly.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Finances.
Mr.
Warnke.
So yearly we provide council an update of where we're at with our finances. Try to do it about mid-year. This was a little bit delayed this year because we had a snow day that one time. So you would have had it earlier, but, well, actually you did have it earlier, but we didn't have the meeting. In whole, we're doing pretty good. I think you can see through the numbers we're right on target. There are a few areas that Mr. Warnke is going to talk about where we may need to come back to council and ask for a resolution on appropriation changes. Staff is currently working on the five-year projection, and we'll bring that to council work session on April 3rd. And then we've scheduled the budget committee meeting and are setting up the budget buddy meetings now. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Warnke, and he can walk through the results.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I think it'd be easiest to just go through fund by fund. Just feel free to interject and with any questions, and if it's a little bit more detailed, it might take a little bit of extra digging, and I can get back to you if needed. Starting with the, and so not everything is going to be 50%. As you'll see as I start with the revenues, some things are heavy towards the beginning of the year and then, or more towards the end of the year, but expenditure is a little bit more consistent than the revenues. That's just, let's see. And it looks like in the packet, the percentages got cut off, so I apologize for that. But I have the actual document that I can refer to needed. On the general fund revenue, pretty looking good. A couple of the highlights, right-of-way use fees, that's at 20%. A lot of the bigger right-of-way comes in after February. PGE is a big one. And so those are, and some of them have been received now in February and January. These financials are through December 31st. So that's on the lower end. Development fees are looking good. Specifically, engineering is pretty high this year. Building and planning are trending to be over budget, but down from last year and the year before, the more robust years. But we're looking to see that probably change in the next, this next fiscal year, flip back over as the cycle goes through the development process. Traffic fines and court-related fees are looking to come in over budget as well. And any questions on the general fund revenue? No. So going into the general fund departments, we appropriate by department in the general fund. So that's where we have to stay within the appropriations, not particularly the line items. Across the board, benefits are going to be pretty tight, so we're going to track that as the year goes. We budget benefits as a percentage of total personnel, and the percentage that we used for this budget was a little bit lower than it should have been. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that. Some of the other, yes?
Councilor Drake.
So when you're talking about benefits, you're talking about healthcare and the whole group?
Yeah.
You're lumping them together?
Yes, they're lumped together in benefits, taxes, medical, dental insurance, and taxes includes Medicare and all the employer portions, and then PERS as well, retirement.
Okay, so on the PERS, what are you using as a funding for PERS percentage that you're looking at?
We have used just a lump percentage, and it was 32% of total for the benefits combined of the total. So that would be 68% wages and 32% benefits.
I know.
Based on what we've seen from the actuals throughout the years.
But I'm just wondering what PERS and specifically healthcare percentages were separately.
The PERS rate is, I believe it's 14 and 17% of wages, and plus, well, then the 6% that the employer picks up also.
And so are you looking at, does that include the contingency?
Contingency?
Yeah, the contingency for the long-term outlook for PERS?
No, that's not an actual expenditure. That's just a liability on the government-wide financial statements. So it's not something we plan for year to year. We just base it off of the actual rates that they give us, and those are just provided. And they stay the same for 2 years, and then go up in bienniums.
So you don't plan for the contingency fund
no.
at all?
Just the fact that we have the general operations reserve. If there was a downturn, that could be dipped into. But we do expect the rates to continue to rise the next several bienniums.
That's what you're asking, correct?
For PERS rates.
Right.
That we're saving in order to pay that deficit of the increase every. Right.
And specifically, we are not saving
right.
just for the PERS. We have created a, or you have created a reserve fund, general mm-hmm. operations reserve, with certain triggers that. Then that can be accessed, and we haven't hit those triggers or had the need yet. But in the future, if we have another recession or something, and we need to pay PERS, and we may need to dip into that. But that would be a council decision.
But it's not specifically; it's a general. So
it's
for
general.
Whatever reason that we would need to fund a specific account, but PERS is included in that. You're asking, is there a specific line item that we're saying?
No. Right.
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and we don't have to save up for the. The actual actuarial liability, that big several million dollars, isn't going to just come due. It's just going to be raising rates with the expenditures.
Okay.
Everybody. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Some of the other ones, general administration line items that are high for example, public outreach, a lot of the events are in July, in the fall, Christmas, so that's already 65%. General operating's high, that's because liability insurance is paid upfront for the entire year, and that's the bulk of that expenditure. The other departments are mainly personnel and then professional development and some supplies. And those are pretty, looking pretty average across the board. With the exception of public works, repairs, and maintenance, that's already over on that line items. It's from the right-of-way tree plantings that the developers pay. So we have the revenue, and then all of a sudden, if there's been several big projects or planting projects that Public Works has completed. So the expenditures weren't enough in that repairs and maintenance line. So to make that planning easier, we're gonna move that revenue into the street reserve for replacement fund, since it's just kind of a random we're proposing that in the next budget. Because it's very volatile on when the plantings will come due. Is that pretty accurate?
Okay, questions on that one? No.
So the public works department, we will probably have to visit that with an appropriation resolution. And we will talk about that at a later date. So that's it for the general fund departments. We can move on to the street fund. The fuel tax, local fuel taxes, looks like it should come in at about 100,000 compared to 75 budget. That was a little bit harder one to budget, being with the new gas station. And state shared revenue should be right on target. Street reconstruction is looking to be quite a bit below budget because there wasn't enough appropriated for one of the larger projects. So those we're gonna have to wait until next year. The library fund. The library district revenue was at zero because that comes in January, about 95% of it at once. So we did receive that, it's just not on this report. And the expenditure should be in line. Then we knew the parks fund was going to be difficult to budget this year, given the uncertainty when we were creating the budget in March of last year. We didn't know if we were gonna be out of the district or in it. So we just kind of went with some numbers, and Jason had said all along through the budget committee process that we would probably have to revisit these figures. And that's definitely the case because the legal fees have been going to the Parks Fund. We separate those line items on the legal bill. The ones specifically parks related went to the Parks Fund. And those have been larger than anticipated because of the legal activity.
Does that show up on here?
Yes.
What do you have it under?
In the Parks Fund, I can tell you which page it's on.
At contract services?
It's the contract services. So the contract services is not all legal. It's also extra help that we've used for the master plan. Yeah, the master plan, and then also extra labor that we've used. We took on some of the smaller parks for a few months, and we had to service those. So those three things, the master plan, legal, and the extra labor.
But are you going to show us the legal at some point so we know what we're spending on that?
Yeah, I send that out every month.
Yeah,
we'll get the bill.
Yeah, legal bill, but I mean, I'd like to see a total.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, we can provide that.
Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that fund will definitely need a resolution, I will propose, to increase the transfer from the general fund and increase the parks, materials, and services appropriation. And that transfer will come, will need to come from the general fund contingency line. So
questions?
The funds are there. Just needs to be moved.
Jason, do you have no.
I have a quick one.
Sure.
Council President Ellis?
Back in the street fund, which I don't know where it is. I saw the transfers out. What exactly is that? Oh, right here. Streets transfer out, 320, 160, 160, 160.
It's the cost allocation from the general fund. It's, and we do it halfway through the year, we do half of the transfer, the budgeted transfer.
So 320 for the whole year? And you do half and half?
Would that also be reserved for replacement?
And 100,000, I believe it was 100,000 to the specific street reserve for replacement to pay for equipment.
And then so 220 goes to?
Yes, let's see.
To what?
The general fund for the cost allocation of overhead administration.
Okay.
I can give you those specific.
No, that's all right. I'm just curious.
So, parks, was there any more questions on the parks? SDC fund for storm drainage is just a product of development as it comes in. The transportation SDC fund on page 26 of the packet, we budgeted $3 million for the transfer from the joint district in the transportation SDC fund, and we received $4.5 million from the joint district to close that out or exit the district. So that is now in the transportation SDC fund.
That happened after
January. Yeah, after December 31st. February we received it. So that was more than budgeted on that. Other than that, it's the reserve funds after that, and then public safety, that's the contract's right at 50%, and that's the big driver for that fund. And then the property taxes and revenue should be right on target as well. And the other ones are the reserve funds. Any
questions? No. Question, Council Sherman.
Thank you. I know I feel like I ask this every year, so my apologies. This will be the third time I ask the question. contingency funding, does that happen at the end of the year as we kind of chew everything up?
Well, it's a line item under expenditures or requirements, but it doesn't get used, so it falls into the ending fund balance.
Gotcha.
Is okay. What you'll see on that.
I should actually make a note of that, so I don't ask that again.
So you'll see that go into the ending fund balance on the annual financial report.
Okay.
And then it'll be budgeted as the beginning fund balance, part of the resources, so revenue.
Gotcha.
In beginning fund balance, so that builds that up.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Councilor Drake?
So, question, we're looking at different ones, but the transfer out, that includes several things.
For which fund? Or
transfer out? If you look at just parks fund.
Oh, parks fund, sure.
27,650. But that parks fund, the transfer out, you're including a number of line items under that, including overhead.
Yes, so for Parks Fund, let me bring up the better detail. Parks Fund, the whole 127 is the cost allocation to the general fund, the parks portion of that.
Right, but I mean, it's for overhead, it's for other things?
Yeah, that's generated with the cost allocation plan that we put together. So all of the administration expenses go into there. So city management, finance,
HR,
payroll, HR,
IT, yeah.
City recorder, IT, and then the materials and services in that as well for general city.
So, but how do you how do you allocate? I mean, you base it on FTE, you base it on?
So yeah, each area has a different, so IT, for example, we use FTE per department or fund as whichever is appropriate. And in that case, it's the more people you have, the more IT demand users and computers. Same thing for HR is FTE. Some other areas like city management are more of expenditure per department, since those bigger dollar amounts kind of demand more of city management time, city manager.
So what are you using for parks as your denominator? How are you determining percentage?
Well, just each of those areas. So whichever the park FTE is, that's the share, the percentage of IT that they will get, or their total expenditure for the other areas like city management.
So you're using it based totally on FTE, you're basing it on expenditure combination?
Both. Yeah.
Okay.
So both, it's just broken down by.
And by further on the cost allocation plan, it's not an exact science.
Right.
It's a policy document. It's basically saying, yes, you're going to have these dedicated departments or funds pay for administrative overhead. And so we do our best to try to figure out the best methodology to make it correct across the
and
city.
And equitable for each fund, like the library and parks, something that's fair. It's the best estimation we can come up with.
And I can understand that. We're about to go out for a parks levy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that parks levy, people can be asking questions, is what is your budget?
Mm-hmm.
And then people may drill down, maybe not, and say, what is this for? What is that for?
Mm-hmm.
How do you determine those things? So I think we just need to be prepared to kind of respond to those. So
sure.
If
and
people
we are.
Ask those inquiries.
We are.
Yeah.
I think we have a draft budget that is something that will be good enough for the council to be able to say to the residents that we have the resources to provide the services they demand. So I think we're there and should be in good shape.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions? Overall, general? No?
Yes.
Councilor Drake?
One thing that would be helpful for me,
mm-hmm.
especially on these graphs, which I think are good, by the way,
sure.
but sometimes it's helpful to have your target. So in other words, we know if we're halfway through the year, what do you expect our target expenditure to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always 50%, like you're saying, it varies,
mm-hmm.
but it's helpful to kind of say, how are we close to target, whatever that target is?
Okay, so, and those ones are just fund total expenditures. But yes, we could do that.
Yeah, I mean, just
sure.
So you know kind of where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the total budget is, here's what the target is, and here's where our expenditures are.
Okay,
yep.
Sure.
Councilor Sherman.
Just to clarify, Councilor Drake, and I think that's a good idea. Are you kind of thinking, you know, not necessarily an exact science, but in a situation where, you know, you would assume that half the expenditure would be done at this point of the year, except there's a little black line that just is drawn to the halfway mark of the annual budget.
Right.
In a situation where maybe The tax revenue is received prior to year end. You should get 90% of that prior to year end, just so you can kind of see, is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. We wouldn't have any historical perspective on a parks fund.
Right, that'd be something.
You're not going to know, we have no idea what the, how it spends and where it spends yet. That's going to be not something you can't do. I can see it, obviously taxes, obviously, you know, when you're talking about Comcast and franchise fees, we kind of know the date, so maybe it's a percentage. And I feel like we've had that in the overall document before. So maybe just not on this one, but I feel like I have seen it where it's like usually we get it in the summary.
I think it was actually in the budget document.
Yeah, we get it in the summary page, you know, at the front where it says normally.
Mid-year numbers.
Yeah.
But it's kind of helpful.
Sure, I'll make note of that then.
Yeah.
And try to come up with something that makes sense.
Overall, I think things look good. In good shape. Thank you.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
Anything else? Mr. Tuck?
Would you like me? Nothing to wrap up on those items. I only have one item on my
manager's report.
Good job, Charis.
Let's do it to it, and then we'll adjourn for a few minutes before regular meeting.
This is not one of the funner conversations.
Is it a long conversation?
Funner.
More fun?
More fun conversation.
Is it a long one?
It's not a long one, unless we want to make it long.
Well, we don't need to make it long, but give us the
It's a heads up for now, more information to come type thing.
Okay.
So we received a request from the contractors of the Scatters Mountain Development to close 145th, 147th to install the roundabout. Their request is a 5-week shutdown with 24/7 work permit, work round the clock, 12-hour shifts, and they think they could do that in 5 weeks. I highly anticipate that would be a problem. And so we're going to meet as a staff this week and look for alternatives, but round the clock construction's not going to be acceptable to the neighborhood there. We kind of come up with a good communication plan to the neighbors. We're going to have to put advanced signage out, door hangers, communication through social media, because the traffic is going to have to be rerouted down
Monter,
Alta Vista.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is emergency services. There's not a lot of north-south routes in the city, and that's one of them, and that would really...
Yeah, so it's Alta Vista is the alternative, and it's going to be a problem for those neighbors.
And the schools.
I will only answer it if you get the scowl off your face when you raise your hand. Council President Ellis.
In hindsight, if we would have just went with a traffic signal, we probably wouldn't be have to shut that street down for 5 weeks. Is that correct?
I don't think that's the case. They actually have to dig into the street quite a bit to get it installed. It's possible. I don't know. I haven't explored that hindsight.
Yeah, shutting that street down for 5 weeks is an issue.
Well, I'm sure looking
Well, it's going to be longer than 5 weeks.
Yeah.
If they can do it in 5 weeks if they work 24/7.
Right.
That's not right.
So it's going to be 2 months plus.
Well, listen, the work's got to get done. We've got to just figure out what's the best alternative. It's not about a yes or a no.
Well, the best alternative is a traffic signal.
Okay, well, that's not in the plan, so we can, I mean, that's just not unreasonable comments. Funny, maybe, but I don't know how we fix that unless we fix it. And so, therefore, this best is the best support, right? And how we message that and do so. So, keep us posted on what that looks like before we roll it out.
I'm going to be meeting with...
What was the date you mentioned?
March 24th.
So, spring break week.
Yeah. Okay. Which is actually probably the best week to start. But anyways, I'm gonna explore it with staff. My first question was, why do they have to close it down? Why can't they just do one side at a time?
Right.
You see that done all over the place, but I think they're trying to maximize impact instead of having it open for 5 months, 4 months, maybe get it done in 2 months.
Well, maybe the residents, if there is an education, maybe they don't want it shut down during the day at all, and they work the night shift when everybody's closed. Close it down, you know, midnight. Maybe that's
think it would be a noise issue.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying maybe that there's options, right, when we offer them. So, anyway.
Well.
Okay. Well, we'll try to support whatever the best case scenario is that we can do, remembering all of those things.
If you see us hanging out there by a rope.
Trying to avoid that.
Yeah, I mean, it's construction. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let us know how that meeting goes on Thursday or whenever you were doing it.
It's Thursday. Or, I don't know, Wednesday.
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 And in the meantime, if we can come up with some other thoughts or ideas about an overpass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do a temporary overpass. But yeah, anyway, we'll try to come up with something. Okay.
Replace it. Put everyone in a hotel for 2 months. within a 500-foot radius.
It's a new request? This wasn't something you guys expected when you got the request?
I just saw the request yesterday.
Okay. So you're as shocked as, or not shocked, but as surprised that the request is.
I'm as concerned as you are.
Yeah. Okay.
With the request.
Okay. Well,
right.
We will get all the information and make a decision on the best case for the citizens. Okay. Let's adjourn till regular meeting.
Okay.
Stay off.
Go on radio silence.
Just delete it off.
Exactly. Shut it down. Delete it off.
That doesn't
take the password out. Don't even look.
I'll change your password for you.
Exactly.
I'll give it to you once.
Give me
instructions.